Bless you, brother.
Good evening. As I was saying at the 5:30 service, I get so excited when it's coming up to a new Alpha, because Alpha, it's all the things that I do here in Millerfield Alpha is probably my favorite thing. And you never know who's going to come to each Alpha, and each Alpha is different, and it's just really exciting. And it's just a privilege just to be part of someone's journey as they come into Alpha in week one, and you journey with them through the next 10 weeks. Our reading tonight is Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say. When I first seen the preaching, Rhoda, a few months back, and I seen that Alpha Sunday was on and I would be speaking, I started to think to myself, wonder what passage, evangelistic passage, that I could use. And I was thinking along the lines maybe of Matthew 9, 37 to 38, where the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Or John 10, 16, where I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. And then a few weeks back, I discovered that I wasn't getting to choose what I preached from. And we were following a teaching series in the evenings, and I was given the passage from Titus 2, 11 to 15. So I went and I opened my Bible, and I sat down and I just read through the passage. And I closed it and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, how am I going to fit that passage into an Alpha talk? So I put it out of my mind, and then about a week or so later, I come back to the passage and I sat down and I read it, and then I read it again and I read it again. And the panic sort of just quickly left me, because the more I read it, the more I realized that actually this passage just fits perfectly into an Alpha talk. So suddenly I'm thinking, either David McClay's a genius in his planning ahead, or God was maybe in this. Well, there's actually a lesson in this, because, as I said, the first time I read it, I completely missed what was in the passage. And I think that sometimes we can make that mistake when we're doing our Bible readings. I try to read the Bible in a year plan. And sometimes when you open your Bible, you sit down in the morning and you think, well, that's a big reading for today, and you don't have a lot of time, and you can read through it and just simply miss so much what's in it. And I think there's a lesson here that we need to sort of really be intentional of spending more time in God's Word. The first verse that we read is, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And this verse just really hit me. I just kept reading it over and over again. Then after I read it a number of times, I went to the wee reference at the side of my study Bible, which guides you to the other verses, which links into this verse. And the first verse that I read was 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. And it says, and now he has made all this plain by the appearing of Christ Jesus our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. In the second verse it took me to was 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. And it says, God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. These are powerful scriptures. Now, when you're studying a piece of scripture, it's always good to look at a few different translations and see if there's any difference in them, and just really study each bit. And I read the Message version in this, and it really stood out to me. And I'm going to read those three verses from the Message translation and just put them together. And it says, God's readiness to give and forgive is now public. Salvation's available for everyone. Since appearance of our Savior, nothing could be plainer. Death defeated, life vindicated, and a steady blaze of light all through the work of Jesus. He wants not only us, but everyone saved. You know, everyone to get to know the truth that we have learned. That's the gospel in three verses. These three verses are telling us that Jesus died on a cross, defeating death. Our sins are forgiven. Light has overcome the darkness. And Jesus wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to know the truth that we have learned. Salvation is available for everyone. These words are powerful, but they're also very challenging. If you're here tonight and you've heard the gospel and you've accepted Jesus into your life, that's fantastic. But what about all the other people you meet outside of here who have never heard the good news? Or they've maybe heard it and don't understand it. The Word of God clearly tells us in the verses that we read that salvation is available to everyone. And that God wants everyone saved and to know the truth that we have learned. The truth that we learned because someone at some time in our lives took the time to share it with us. For some people, sharing their faith comes so naturally, but for a lot of people, this is not the case. I recently read the book, Creating a Culture of Invitation in Your Church, and the author tells us that the one thing that stops people from inviting people or sharing their faith is fear. It's fear of rejection or fear of being mocked, and I totally get that. So many times I've been in a situation where I've had the opportunity to share my faith or invite people to church or invite them to an event, and I've battled it, and I'm supposed to be an evangelist. We can justify these missed opportunities by making excuses. You know, well, I'm not a great communicator, or the person I was speaking to is a lot more intelligent than me, so what happened if they asked me questions and I didn't know the answers? Or I don't want people to think that I'm a Bible basher. Or maybe, you know, sometimes we think, well, that's a church leader's job to do, that's not mine. There's loads of excuses we can make, and I know because I've made a lot of them. And then the big problem is, too, when we do pick up the courage to share our faith and invite people to things, and maybe we'll get knocked back a few times, and it can really knock the heart out of us. Now, I personally find sometimes trying to invite people from outside church to church is too big a step for them. But I find that inviting them to Alpha is easy. There are many people out there who are open spiritually and are searching for purpose and meaning in their lives, but they don't know where to look. You only need to look at people's Facebook pages and you see the interest there is out there in spiritualism, mediums, and fortune tellers. People are searching, but unfortunately they're looking in the wrong places. What Alpha does is it gives people the opportunity to come and explore and ask questions. For those who don't know what Alpha is, it's a 10-week course. It's designed especially for non-Christians or new Christians, but it's open for anyone, and it allows people to come and explore the basics of the Christian faith in a safe and non-threatening way. Each night begins with a short video, then we break for some food. There's always food. And then we go into the groups, and the group is when you get the chance to discuss what was in the videos, to ask your questions. Some people like to talk, some people like to listen. There's no pressure in the groups, but everyone's opinions are respected. The weeks run as follows. Week one is an introduction talk on is there more to life than this? Then we start with who is Jesus? Why did Jesus die? How can I have faith? How and why do I read the Bible? How do I pray? How does God guide us? How can I avoid evil? How does God heal today? How and why I should tell others? And in the middle of all this, there's a day away when we look at who the Holy Spirit is. Since the course started in 1993, it's estimated that in more than 100 countries worldwide, 24 million people have been and done an Alpha course. The church here in Mullerfield has been running Alpha now for a number of years, and as so many lives have been changed through Alpha here. Now, I took over the running Alpha in 2014, so January, and I have only records from men, but since then we have run 16 Alpha courses. We've seen over 300 people come to Alpha. We've seen over 60 people come to faith, and we've seen many more people recommit their lives to Jesus. I don't think I've met anyone who's come and completed the whole 10 weeks of Alpha and haven't been changed in some way. I've had people who came and said they were an atheist in week one and claimed to still be an atheist in week 10, but in week 10 they've let their leaders pray for them, which they'd never have done in week one. Some people come and they complete the Alpha and you never see them again. But generally I find as the weeks go on and people start to build relationships and friendships in the group and trust grows and stuff, people are starting, as the weeks go on, people say to me, what are you going to do with us next? You can't just leave us. There's now five groups running in Alpha in Willowfield here, life groups, which all come out of Alpha. Now, that's five groups in my time of doing Alpha, and there's probably many, many more which have been started up from way back in the day. There's no secret formula to Alpha. The idea is simple. You introduce people to Jesus in week one, and you just walk with them as they journey through the next 9 weeks. And in doing this, we're doing exactly what we're being instructed to do in the next verses. And again, I'm going to use the Message version because I think it just fits in perfectly tonight for the Alpha talk. We've been shown how to turn our backs on a godless, indulgent life and how to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life. This new life is starting right now and is whetting our appetites for the glorious day when our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, appears. He offered himself as a sacrifice to free us from a dark, rebellious life into this good, pure life, making us a people he can be proud of, energetic in goodness. As I said at the start of Alpha, we introduce people to Jesus. And without Jesus, people don't know that they're living a life separated from God. And they can't take on a God-filled and honoring life without Jesus. Before I became a Christian, I never thought of myself as being godless. As far as I was concerned, I was a good person. And if I'm going to be honest, when I first got saved and asked for forgiveness of all my sins, I'm thinking to myself, well, I haven't really got a lot to be forgiven about. Because I was judging myself by other people, and I wasn't judging myself by God's standards. And over the years I began to walk with Jesus, it's amazing when the Holy Spirit starts to show you things in your life that you've done, you've said. And it's really challenging. Why did Jesus have to die is a talk in week two, and that's innate when we look at sin and forgiveness. And on the last course, someone in my group asked me, did I ever sin? And I said, I have to get on my knees every night and ask for forgiveness. And they laughed and they said, ah, John's a sinner. And then someone actually picked up the courage and says, what actually is sin? You see, a lot of people, in their eyes, they think of sin as just something that's related to big things like murder and rape and stealing and child abuse. And they were actually shocked when I explained that telling lies, even wee white ones, gossiping, pride, envy, and taking the Lord's name in vain are all examples of sin. The problem we have in church today is that we can easily fall into the trap of thinking that everyone out there knows the gospel, but they just choose to ignore it. The truth is that a lot of people, when they come to Alpha, they don't have any knowledge of the Bible whatsoever. As a matter of fact, a lot of them don't even own a Bible. I know back in the day, every house had a Bible, but that's not the case anymore. The scriptures we read about talk about how Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice so we can be set free. And I just sat over a week ago with a young man whose life up until a few weeks ago had been a complete mess with drugs, drink, and violence. And he's seen no hope and future for himself, his partner, and his family. He and his partner decided that they needed to change their lives, and they picked up the courage. They came to church a few Sunday mornings ago, and they gave their lives to Jesus. We give him a New Testament, and he said that when he started to read it, he couldn't put it down. He'd never read the Bible before, and he was totally amazed to learn that Jesus died on a cross for him. This young couple now have met Jesus. They've been set free from a dark, rebellious life, and they're now looking forward to a new future, a new hope. They're going to come to Alpha because they want to learn so much more about this glorious God who died on the cross for them, for you, and for me, and who rose again and is changing lives right around the world every day. I'm going to invite a couple of people up on stage now. Shirley and Leslie, if they would just come up. You got the. Shirley and Leslie came to the last Alpha course that we did. It was a course that we run on Thursday mornings because Alphas usually run at night, but a lot of people had said that they couldn't come at night because they had children, and they couldn't, a lot of single parents and stuff. So we run an alpha in the morning, and we put a creche on. And Leslie and Cheryl Lee came along to that alpha. Now, he's seen the alpha video. Leslie is the star of that video. Now, for anyone who wasn't paying any attention or was sleeping while that video was on, I'm just going to ask Leslie a few questions. So, Leslie, you said in the... I'm going to hold this too because it's dangerous giving her. You said in the video that you'd been working with Christians and stuff, and you just seen something, and you wanted to come to Alpha and explore what it was, right? Yes. So first of all, what was your favourite part of Alpha?
Definitely being able to bring my friends along and sort of go on this journey together with them, and different members of the community coming in, people that we would never even say hello to in the street, but, you know, always grew up with them and knew them, and seeing them coming in and developing a friendship that is now going to last forever, I hope.
Brilliant, brilliant. Bring this over because my questions are here and they're getting further back. Since doing Alpha, has your opinion changed from what you previously believed about Jesus and what it means to be a Christian?
Definitely. My opinion on Jesus was just this fella he would have came to church sung about. And now I live my life by him and God. In the mornings I would read my Bible. Now I only do a page at a time because I wouldn't be great of a reader. And so every morning I would do that. And then throughout the day I would live by them. So if I come across any challenges, I would ask their advice. And so being a Christian, this is what it's all down to me, you know, about for me, and then I'm getting the strength from them then to help other people, which is where I think I'm meant to be.
Brilliant, brilliant. And just again, just for anyone who wasn't paying any attention, tell everyone what happened to you while you were doing the Alpha then.
God was speaking to me. I was employed by Willowfield as a cleaner. I was employed by Willowfield as a cleaner in January. And while I was walking around over in the church halls, God was telling me, you need to come to me and bring everyone with you. And three times I told him no, and until it got to the point then where I knew that was the life that I had to take on and wanted to take on, and it's changed my life. And looking at the new list for the Alpha that's starting on Tuesday, I can't believe the people that are coming to do it. I'm getting emotional. I think it's amazing, and I think the barriers are being broken in our community, and it's about time.
That's brilliant. Leslie has such a heart for the community, as you can tell. And Leslie, was it week four, week five that you gave your life to the Lord?
Week four, and I didn't tell until week five.
Give her a big round of applause. That's Shirley's turn. The last time Shirley was up here on stage, here she was dressed as Whoopi Goldberg and leading 40 women dressed as nuns. When we done Stars in Her Eyes, and they came and performed on it and won it.
Oh, yes, make sure he says we won.
Shirley, what was the reason for coming to Alpha? I needn't ask that question, but I'll ask it anyway.
She made me. That's true. She made a lot of us come. But obviously, we're glad we did to you. That's the main reason. Another reason was more for me, my mum and my sister did it together, and it's been a while when we've done stuff together, so I thought it'd be a good opportunity for us two to come in. Plus, obviously, I wanted to see what more the church was doing for people, because, as you said, we did the Sister Act thing and stuff, the Stars and Rise things, and I started seeing how much yous were involved with the community, so I was like, I'm going to get in there, see what's happening. Yeah, they were my reasons.
I first met Shirley probably about 4.5 years ago. I was out giving out Alpha flyers, and I called into a shop down the road, and Shirley was working on it. And I spoke to her about Alpha, and she said that at that time she was interested in coming to Alpha. But if Leslie hadn't have invited you and brought you, do you think you'd have ever came?
I don't know. I didn't mean it. Whenever you asked me, I didn't mean it. I felt a wee bit pressured to say it to you, if I'm honest. But as you said, it's been running for a number of years, and I'd seen like a few friends that have on Facebook putting stuff on Alpha, like the wee Michelle Stewart and stuff, and it was something you were like, oh, maybe give it a go sometime, but then you brush it aside and you just kind of forget about it. So no, it's really her fault.
Like most of the people who come to Alpha, Shirley didn't have any Bible background, and she was very honest when she first came that she didn't have any really Bible knowledge, and she had loads and loads of questions. I'm just going to ask you, from starting Alpha, Shirley's still on that journey, but from starting Alpha until you finished Alpha, would you say you're any closer to God now than what you were when you started?
Well, I'm coming here now on a Sunday night, and she's not making me, so that door kind of says it all. So yes, no, I would say I definitely am. Obviously, I don't think I'm anywhere near ready to be a Christian or anything like that, but I'm enjoying the experience of learning more. You know, the fact that you've put on the extra course, the after offer for us, so we can still ask more questions and find out more stuff, and I'm coming here voluntarily on a Sunday night, and I'm enjoying it.
That's huge.
Oh, thank you.
Actually, that group on a Thursday morning are an example of what happens as the weeks go by, because a lot of the people who came to that Alpha aren't Christians still. But they said to me as the weeks went on, what are you going to do with us next? And I says, well, what do you want to do? And they says, well, we want to continue on. And I says, but what do you want to do? We want to learn the Bible. So we started back on Thursday morning there, and we've continued on with another 10 weeks course. And we have 12 of the people come back, and there's another 4 who are coming back next week. So that's 16 out of 24 who have come back. So I think that says it all. Leslie is an example of what it is that they invite people. Out of the 24 people at that Alpha, Leslie brought 11 of them. She was inviting everybody. She was inviting her friends, her neighbors. And some people obviously turned her down, and some people probably mocked her as well, but she never gave up. And even for the Alpha, she's coming back now, this Alpha, she's going to be one of the group helpers. And she's a list of names in a book of people already, which she's went out and invited and who are coming. Our scripture tells us that tonight, that God's readiness to give and forgive is now public. Salvation is available for everyone. He offered himself as a sacrifice to free us from a dark, rebellious life into this good, pure life. Oh, I'm still using this. I've got a handheld. This is the greatest news that anyone can ever hear, but yet so many of our families, friends, neighbors, and work colleagues don't know it. Alpha starts on Tuesday night again at 8 o'clock. In a few moments, what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes, and we're going to just sit in silence, and we're going to ask God to come and show you someone he would like you to invite the Alpha. Maybe you're thinking it's too late for this Tuesday, but this is the introduction week, and the groups don't start till the week after, so it'll not really matter if you miss this week. So that gives you a week and a bit to go whoever and invite whoever God showed you. You might think to yourself, oh no, not that person, but if God puts them on your heart, that's your challenge. And what I'm going to ask you to do then, after we've sat in silence, we've listened to God, there's post-it notes at the end of each of those. I'm going to ask you to just write on the post-it note the name or the letter of the person that you want to invite. And then we're going to go up and we're going to place them at the foot of the cross. If you don't get a name of someone, that's fine. Just put a question mark. And then maybe God will reveal a name to you later on tonight or maybe during the week. So I'm just going to ask us, just close your eyes. Let's take a few moments in silence. Right. So can I ask us just to start writing them names on the wee post-it notes, and when you've got them written down, just make your way up and place them at the foot of the cross. And I'm going to ask a worship team just to come back up, and they're going to continue on with worship.